Hello, everybody, my name is Mom, and this is Mom's Gadget Talk for Thursday, 25th of February, 2021. And as always, we got plenty of things to talk about. We got a lot to talk about Redmi and Realme, and obviously lots of Samsung now is offering 100-day returns for their foldables. There's a new interesting modular laptop, and LG now offers its WebOS operating system for other TV brands. That's cool. So we got an interesting episode for you. So let's get crack-a-lacking there. You know, if you know what I mean. You know, let's just talk about these two interesting phone brands. If you know what I'm talking about for sure. So early today, Xiaomi showed off its brand new Redmi K40 series of smartphones. As we've been seeing the teasers for the last couple of weeks, this was shaping up to be a really interesting set of value for money flagships. Really, for the price, your jaws will drop for what you get for the money. They're really nice phones, and again, rock solid specs. I mean, let's just walk through it really real quick. So Redmi K40 is the regular spec Redmi K40 of the entire series. This is the base spec. Features a 6.67 inch Full HD Plus OLED display with 120Hz refresh rate, a punch hole selfie camera on the front. You got a Snapdragon 870 processor. I think it's 7 nanometers. It's built on 7-nanometer fabrication. Adreno 650 GPU. You get 6GB of RAM, 8GB, and 12GB of LPDDR5 RAM. 128 or 256GB of UFS 3.1 storage, which I think is not bad for the price here. I mean, this is quite competitive. 48-megapixel rear camera, 8-megapixel ultra-wide, 5-megapixel telephoto macro, and 20-megapixel front camera. You get a 4,520 milliamp hour battery with 33-watt fast charging, Wi-Fi 6, NFC, and IR blaster, and comes in three wonderful colors, black, fantasy, and white. I don't know how that looks like, but that probably is a kind of a gradient changing color, the fantasy one, so that makes sense. Kind of has the anime vibes. Then you have the K40 Pro, which has the same display, but it step it up to a Snapdragon 888 processor with Adreno 660 GPU and 6 or 8 gigabytes of RAM and 128 and 256 gigabytes of UFS 3.1 storage. So just like the regular K40. The big difference here is a 64 megapixel main camera, 8 megapixel ultra wide, 5 megapixel telephoto macro, and 20, and obviously, as always, the same front selfie camera as the regular K40. You essentially get the same battery with as the regular K40, but here you get Wi-Fi 6E, and that's pretty much it. And you also get the same set of colors as the K40. The K40 Pro Plus has the same display processor as the Pro, 12GB of RAM only, and 256GB of UFS 3.1 storage. This is absolutely a beast of a phone from the looks of it. But you get 108MP main camera, 8MP ultrawide, 5MP telephoto. That's pretty much it, really. So the real difference between these three phones, well, primarily is the processor, and sort of storage-wise, memory, and the cameras. I mean, you get a different experience from phone to phone, which is interesting. So as for the camera, you have, for the regular K40, you have a 48-megapixel f1.8, 26mm wide sensor, a half an inch sensor size, 0.8 micrometers, and PD autofocus out of the gate, 8-megapixel f2.2, 119-degree field of view ultrawide sensor, 5-megapixel 50mm macro, 1x5, so that's 0.2 inch sensor with a pixel size of 1.12 micrometer, and it's kind of impressive what you have here. And a 20-megapixel wide f, no, this doesn't say f here, a 20-megapixel 1x3.4 inch front selfie camera with a pixel size of 0.8 micrometers. I think it's a pixel size. These are quite detailed specifications for what you have to start with. And just for context, unfortunately, the cameras, though, on the back only do electronic image stabilization, but it can record at up to 4K 30 frames per second, and obviously 1080p, you can even do 960 frames per second slow-mo, which I think is good given how much this phone costs. and what you get for the money. And if we step up, if we bump up to the Pro, because it's for the pros, kind of, haha, see what I did there, you get a 64 megapixel f1.9 aperture, 26 millimeter wide sensor, a 1 by 1.7 inch sensor size, and 0.8 micrometer pixel size. And you also get autofocus out of the gate. You get 8 megapixel f2.2 119 degree ultra wide sensor, and obviously the same ultra wide macro sensors on all K40 phones. The main the Pro has a main 64 megapixel camera. If I could find the name of the sensor, if they have it mentioned somewhere, that'd be interesting. Where is it? I mean, doesn't mention it, weirdly enough. And you get the same selfie camera, but fortunately the Pro lets you record video at up to 8K 30 frames per second. I'm telling you, this is competing head to head with the S20 and S21 phones. I'm just saying, okay? And you get HDR10+, so they really are bringing down some features from the Mi 11 series from the looks of it right here, and that's wonderful, really. But we haven't stopped here yet. I mean, there's the K40 Pro Plus. I thought Apple had messed up with names, but well, we have a monster phone here to deal with. Here you get the main sensor, actually, is a 108 megapixel f1.8 aperture, 26 millimeter wide sensor, 1 by 1.52 inch sensor, 0.7 micrometer pixel size, and autofocus out of the gate. And you can record at 8K 30 frames a second to that resolution. It's apparently, fortunately, this is one of the first phones to come with the brand new, with the new Samsung ISOCELL HM2 sensor. That obviously is incredibly massive, 1 by 1.52 inch sensor size. You get 9-in-1 pixel binning, dual ISO, and 2.1 micrometer pixel size, which is impressive. And look at these pictures. You'd forget that this has come from a smartphone. We'll have to see real world shots, if you know what I mean. That looks impressive. I mean, I kind of know phones can take impressive pictures, but like, again, it's incredibly impressive what you have here. So to correct the dual ISO, you could do dual native ISO and Super Night Scene 2.0 to tackle every kind of lighting scenario, including low light scenarios of all kind. And this obviously is with the two extra sensors next to it that can already do ultra-wide and telephoto. Now, as for connectivity, for performance connectivity, the K40 series is an interesting phone. All the phones, interestingly, get a 120 Hz display. Which is not bad, really. 120 Hz AMOLED. I've been using an old S3, and once you get hooked to the AMOLED, you can't go back to LCD. It'd be a travesty to use a phone with LCD. Feels cheapy, and you know, if you know what I mean. So it's nice that Redmi is offering AMOLED at this price point, under $500. I mean, I haven't mentioned the price here, but then the regular K40 has an 870. And obviously then the Pro and the Pro Plus have the 888 out of the gate, which is not bad. And it's incredibly fast. So you get all the goodies of that chipset, except for the 5G bit. And Bob, the Redmi K40 Pro and Pro Plus do not have millimeter wave 5G. They only have sub-6 5G, but sub-6 5G in some places could reach 1 gigabit per second. So that should be an issue if you live in those countries with sub-6 5G. Aside from that, but on the Pro phones, you get Wi-Fi 6E and Bluetooth 5.2, which is not too shabby, to say the least. So it is incredibly fast, to say the least. And in the regular K40, it has a 64 megapixel camera. That's a bit of a step down from the 108, but you get a 1 by 1.7 inch sensor, 1.6 micrometer pixel size, and you get 4-in-1 pixel binning, which is not too shabby for a phone of that caliber. But the regular K40 is interesting, and I think we need to put emphasis on the base K40, because I think that would be a beefy phone for a lot of people you have a tight budget. So it just has the Snapdragon 870, fortunately it's clocked a little fast at 3.2 gigahertz, was not bad. I mean, they've tried here, that's not bad. You have a very fast memory, really. So UFS 3.1 storage is not bad. So you start out and you get a base spec of 6 gigabytes of RAM and 128 gigabytes of storage, which would do it for a lot of people out there. Obviously, you can go further than that. You got 4,520 milliamp hour battery, 33 watt fast charging. It just weighs 7.8 millimeters and can do high res audio, which is not bad. And it has USB-C, surprisingly. You just get a 48 megapixel camera, which is not bad, really. I mean, again, this is using the Sony IMX582 sensor, which is not bad. But weirdly enough, the 870 can record up to 8K video, but the phone itself can only record up to 4K. I don't feel annoyed. Like, most people will not really notice this. But get this. The K40 will go for will go on sale pretty much. The pre-orders are out now, really. You can go and pre-order this phone. And it'll cost you 2,000 Chinese yuan RMB. Now, if you do the currency calculation or currency conversion, that works out to be $310. So $310 for a high-end phone. High-end chip, high-end display, decent battery, fast charging, okay cameras, not bad. I mean, similar to the Moto Edge S in that respect, if you think about it. But beefy storage. I mean, $310. Mind you, the iPhone is roughly $700. iPhone 12 is $700 starting. So for less than half of the iPhone 12, you get a K40, and you get some ballsy specs here. That's not bad. I think I read somewhere this maybe says a special pricing potentially. Okay, pardon me. I mean, took my words back. This phone will actually start from 2,000 yuan MB, so that'll be $310 approximately. And the base K40, the only thing you lose out is the bigger, beefier cameras and the Snapdragon 888. But really, you don't lose much here. And you don't get 5G or dual SIM support, which is depressing, but well. And you don't get an IR blaster, but well, if you kind of miss out on that, well it's alright. I mean, but hey, $310, roughly around $320 or $310. For essentially, you get a 6.67-inch Samsung E4 AMOLED 2400 by 1080 display, 120 hertz refresh rate, 1300 nit, 5:1 contrast ratio, a Snapdragon 888, LPDDR5 RAM, and UFS 3.1 storage, 7.196 grams. I mean, dual speakers, side-mounted fingerprint sensor, 4,520 milliamp hour battery, 33 watt fast charging, Wi-Fi 6, which is okay, and again, from 6 gigabytes and 128 gigabytes of storage, 6 GB RAM, all the way up to 12 GB of RAM and 256 GB of storage, which is not bad, man. This is impressive value for money. I mean, show me out here punching everyone in the competition big time. This is impressive stuff. It's absolutely phenomenal what you have here. The K40 Pro and the Pro Plus are impressive phones in themselves, really. You have the beefier cameras and processor, and that should obviously make it a bit special compared to the regular K40. So it's absolutely impressive what you have here. And if you are one kind of wondering about the pros, so I think what's special about the K40 Pro and Pro Plus is probably the camera and the processor. So if you really want all beefed out specs, you know where to go for it, the K40 and the K40 Plus. Fortunately, the K40 Plus has the biggest camera, probably, from amongst many Xiaomi phones. So that's interesting. And one of the first with the IMSL Bright HM2 processor, which is impressive from the looks of it. So, I mean, you don't really get extra cameras or bigger cameras. I mean, you get a big main camera, and I think that's important. And the design is really elegant. The whole phone really absolutely looks stunning from the back. I mean, Xiaomi has figured the design out, fortunately. This and the Mi 11 series, I've shown that Xiaomi has really matured the design process, and they're making some really good phones now. And I think if you really live outside of China, you probably want to get this one too, this phone also. I mean, let's see how the Redmi Note 10 pans out. I mean, we've seen the K40 series now. It looks amazing. I mean, I now want to get the K40 now. I'm not going to lie. This looks like a really good phone. Very fast for what I want, you know. It does everything, as it says on the tin. So that's not bad. I mean, if I had a choice, I'm going to go for the K40. I mean, we'll have to see about the Note 10, Redmi Note 10. If there's anything impressive about those phones, they improve anything. If there's they have anything special about them and they're under, like, $300, then okay. But my heart's for the K40 now. This looks impressive. What you have here, it's. I mean, and the other storage tiers, so, $310 for the regular K40 base spec. If you add 2 extra gigabytes of RAM, that's $341, and then $387 approximately for 8 gigabytes of RAM and 256 gigabytes of storage. And the max start spec of the base K40 is 2,500 yuan, or $387. So that's for 12 gigabytes of RAM and 256 gigabytes of storage. And the Pro will start from $344, that's $434 approximately, for 6 gigabytes of RAM and 128 gigabytes of storage, and will go all the way up to $511 for the regular Pro maxed out storage spec. And there's only one storage spec for the K40 Pro Plus, because not many people are going to buy that. And you can pay, and you expect to pay $573 for that phone, so not that bad. I mean, I feel like they should bring this phone out globally. And if they do charge a bit of a markup, it'll be a big hit, really, with regards to what you have here. I mean, these are some incredible specs here. I mean, you probably just heard nothing but me going gaga about this phone, but I mean, they've had some impressive stuff up here. So this phone, the K40 series, which costs between $300 and $600 US, again, really, this is what you call great value for money. Not even good value for money, great value for money. So, the K40 and K40 Pro are available for pre-order now from Xiaomi stores and their online store in China, and you're able to buy it from March 4th, and the K40 Pro Plus will be available from the end of March. So, if you're interested in buying this phone, you know, just start saving up money and, you know, wait till next month, hopefully. You probably would want to wait till April. This phone will sell like bananas, that's for sure. But let's just talk about the other phone that actually will go global and is incredibly good value for money, the Redmi Note 10. I mean, it's impressive. I mean, there's a lot of leaks about this phone. I mean, already. So that's impressive. So this is insane. There's a mobile shop in Tamil Nadu. Okay, that's a big shout out to 91 Mobiles for this detail. Obviously, Redmi Note 10 is going to be absolutely amazing, and it's a great phone that's like being ready to happen, and you know it's going to drop really soon. But I mean, and it's probably going to be a big best-selling phone in India, probably. Interestingly enough, a little mobile shop in Madurai, Tamil Nadu, this is a mobile shop in Tamil Nadu in India, has already leaked out the Redmi Note 10 as it is. Like, again, there's just so much hype that our mobile shop has a bunch of Redmi Note 10s ready for sale, kind of. So, an East Mobile store basically posted a little video of the phone on Instagram showing off the phone itself, showing its really interesting camera, sort of, and how high resolution it is. So it's 48 megapixels, and it went into the settings, and obviously the phone showed to have 120 gigabytes of storage, and kind of just smoothly the phone was just popping out of the settings app and into the camera. It confirms that it has a high refresh rate out of the gate. It probably will have a high refresh rate without an issue. Now, this shop is claiming that this phone will cost 17,000 rupees. Now, again, if we get the currency calculation again, the conversion to USD for the rest of the world, because I mean that price seems impressive already without thinking about it. Let me just type this in real quick. $233 for the Redmi Note 10, the regular one. Interesting, this model though, these are the Indian assembled model of the Redmi Note 10, is ones that are made in India, and so for the Indian market, interestingly. So that's interesting. So again, big shout out to 91 Mobiles. We've added a bit of detail here. So the phone has a center position punch hole notch. There's USB Type-C. There's a headphone jack. There's also a little IR blaster, apparently, so that's interesting. And you get a quad camera set at the back, so it showed the back with the camera layout. So there probably are going to be four cameras at the back, which is interesting. So the phone has 128 gigabytes of storage, and it literally showed 19 GB of regular storage being taken out, taken in. So that's interesting. And again, possibly this phone will have a 48 megapixel camera at the rear, so that's interesting. And also, you could see a Snapdragon 678. We haven't heard about this chip, but again, it would be interesting. But weirdly enough, this phone seems to have MIUI 12, let's say EMUI, MIUI 12, yes, with Android 11. So this is a phone that's about to drop really, really soon. And then someone kind of wrote that the phone has 25 watt fast charging and again has a dedicated SD card slot. So we're kind of piecing a lot of information together that this is going to be really, I mean, this is an interesting phone, but also that we're going to see this phone coming really, really soon. It's next week pretty much, so we can't wait to see what we're about to see next week with the Redmi Note 10 series. It's getting leaked really fast, you know, this is how much people are hyped about these phones. So I mean, the really noteworthy stuff. Switching gears over to Redmi's other nemesis brand, Realme. They're real out here. Realme obviously has been probably talking up plenty of their upcoming phones, the Realme 8 series, the GT, and obviously much, much more. They've obviously just showed off the new Narzo 30 series phones, which is interesting. But the Realme GT, now we have a price set for this phone. The Realme GT will start at roughly at below 3,000 yuan RMB, which would be around $464, under $464 approximate, hopefully. So that's interesting. He kind of this is based on what he originally said a little while back, previously, that the GT would cost just as much as the Realme X50 Pro. Basically, I'll just write this down. I'll mention this here as he quoted. As for the pricing, you can refer to the Realme X50 Pro. So obviously, it'll cost that much. So that's interesting. And then on top of the fact that I'm mentioning that unlike other brands, Realme is not going to create a phone with the Snapdragon 870 because obviously it is quite lower down. So they need to make an incredibly ultra-fast phone. So they had to pick the Snapdragon 888, which is kind of interesting. Just for context, that means if you live in India, you'll have to pay around 30,000 rupees for the phone. And if you're in Europe, where Realme does sell tons of phones, you'll have to pay around 600 euros for the phone. So it is a little bit of a markup, but it's a good price. And essentially, until other options come out, this will basically be one of the cheapest Snapdragon 888 phones on Earth, theoretically, competing way cheaper than the Mi 11 and the S21 standard. It's impressive what you have here with Realme. They do make good value for money. And just for context, this will pack a 64 megapixel camera with a 13 megapixel ultra wide and 30 megapixel telephoto or macro possibility, 125 watt fast charging, 5000 mAh power battery, 160 Hz QHD plus display, all this under $450, not too shabby. Let's see. We'll have to wait till next week or so, and then obviously we'll show off the Realme GT in greater detail. But shaping up to be an exciting time to be a phone geek. Interestingly, while we're at it with the GT, Madhav Seth has already mentioned a bit about, has started teasing the Realme 8. This yesterday, pretty much, early today, he kind of showed a tease, the 108 to Infinity and Beyond coming soon. So basically, it's trying to state that the Realme 8 will possibly have a 108 megapixel camera, which is interesting to say the least. So that's an interesting teaser. And obviously, kind of, I mean, again, constantly teasing that the Realme 8 is coming, and this will essentially be the first phone with a 108 megapixel camera. I'm kind of already guessing this is the IMOCELL, is that same IMOCELL sensor. What was it called again? The IMOCELL HM2 cell sensor, just like on the Xiaomi phones. Hopefully, next couple of months we'll get to see the Realme 8 series coming out. So that'll be interesting. Pretty cool enough. There's some new TWS headphones from Realme. The Buds Air 2. So there's already Buds Air, and there's the Buds Air 2. And interestingly, these are some really new wireless earbuds. They have 80% improved battery life, 35% less latency, which is really cool. It's sort of two-tone color design, which is really cool. Apparently pretty lightweight. And has, where is it? It has a, where is it? And has active noise cancellation, one of the first, one of the more interesting earbuds to have featured this, and environmental noise cancellation, which means you basically bring down a lot of noise. And weirdly enough, a collaboration with the Chainsmokers, pretty famous name in EDM music, to create a mode for the Buds Air 2, essentially a EQ setting called Bass Boost Plus, which delivers way more bass than usual, which is not bad. I know you want to check this earbuds out, see how good it is. It has a 10mm hi-fi driver, which is really cool, 25-hour total playback time, and you get 5 hours of single listening time overall, so that's really cool. So they've stepped it up big time. This has kind of come out in India already, so this is already will set you back. This will set you back 3,300 rupees, which is roughly $45. But it's quite competitively priced. Let's just wait for the reviews to come out. Let's see how it sounds. Really, hopefully, it is really good. And it'll be available from March 2nd in India. So if you're looking to get some new wireless earbuds, you know where to look for. So that's interesting. This is quite fascinating. Samsung will offer is offering a 100-day return window if you buy any Galaxy Z series foldable phone right now, right away, from the regular, say, 14 to 30 day return period. Now you can, as for reference, as example, if you're in the United States of America, in good old America, if you buy a phone from Best Buy. If you buy a phone, you can go back and return it within 14 days. And you'll have to pay a restocking fee, which is a bit annoying, but oh well. But Samsung, apparently, because their phones are quite expensive and it's a bit funny and stuff, you essentially can, if you buy their foldable phone, the Z Flip or the Z Fold 2, which the Z Flip is now $1,200 from, say, like $2,000, I believe. And then the Z Fold 2 is like $2,000. If you buy one of those phones, Samsung will now offer a 100-day return. So that means a window. And that means you're able to go and buy the phone and play around with it for up to 100 days. And if you don't like, you can go back or get your money back completely. Or you can keep the phone at its, and you can keep the phone and happily spend that kind of money. More than that, Samsung's also offering up to $550 of trading credit if you trade in a really good smartphone, high-end phone. Obviously, you have an S10 and you trade that in and you get this, you can get up to $550, which is not bad. On top of that, you'll get $200 in credit towards Samsung accessories, so you can get that. You can use it to buy earbuds. I recommend the Galaxy Buds if you're looking for something to spend your money on, so that's that. What do I think about it? This is fascinating. This is like Samsung getting heavily desperate to convince people to spend thousands of dollars and buy a foldable. And that, it's kind of, and they really want people to try out foldable phones. And I feel like, I'm sure they've kind of varied. I'm sure for those who are not geeks and nerds or phone heads like me, they're kind of sitting there thinking, well, no one's buying the foldables, it's expensive already, that's interesting, but no one's buying it, they're so scared, it's such a heavy purchase, this is not a light purchase, it's a very, very a big ticket purchase. And so they're trying to offer a generous return policy to get people to reuse these phones and give it a try. Honestly, my recommendation is that do take advantage of this return window along this offer. This is on Samsung's own website. It's not in the other store. In other stores probably. This is from their, if you buy it from their website. So if you want to do it, go for it, really. I mean, I'd recommend the Z Flip. It's a really nice phone. And obviously, those phones, the Z Flip is a really cool phone. And I think I'll definitely love it. The Z Fold 2 is like kind of overkill. And the Z Fold 3 is about to come out along with like successor to the Z Flip. So you'll have to be wary about it. The Z Flip looks really nice. And I think you'd probably be happy with the phone in general. It's kind of natural design and flip phones. We all miss flip phones, right? So you'll definitely enjoy this phone. And it's really, really solid. If the screen gets cracked, you could spend like $600 on the display, I believe, or $400. So if you want to do that, really, I mean, that you're not, you shouldn't, but I mean, you could do that if you want. And you get, and also you get $200 to spend on accessories. You do get some Galaxy Buds, you know. I mean, it's. I feel like Samsung really wants people to buy these devices, so it's almost like an act of desperation. So it's kind of interesting, to say the least. Didn't think I was going to talk about this, but there's a new startup that claims to offer, that's claiming to create, has essentially created the first modular 13.5-inch laptop out there. So this is an interesting company called Framework. Get it? Framework. You know, it's the framework of everything we do. Anyways, so Framework is this really cool hardware startup that is claiming to create this new sort of laptop, new kind of laptop, where it is essentially all modular. All the parts inside this first laptop that they're launching is repairable, replaceable, and all that good stuff. And interestingly, it is really top class for what it is, despite being quite a customizable laptop. So you get precision formed and milled aluminum housing coming at 15.85 millimeters thick, overall that's the height, and 1.3 kilograms of weight. You get 13.5-inch 3x2 ratio screen with 2256 by 1504 resolution, a 1080p 60 frames a second webcam, which is phenomenal, with privacy switches, a high life cycle 55 watt hour battery, and 1.5 millimeter key travel keyboard, which is not bad. You get up to 11 gen Intel Core processors with Wi-Fi 6E, up to 64 gigabytes of storage, up to 4 terabytes of Gen 4 NVMe storage. So it's quite freaking customizable, so not too shabby. So when I mean customization, they're not screwing around with that. So you have 4 bays on the motherboard, and that means, and it has a USB-C port on one end. And the idea is you can add storage ports. You can add ports of whatever you like. You don't need dongles and stuff. Dongles can be annoying for real. So you can actually plug in an extension for a USB-C plug, a USB-A plug, HDMI, DisplayPort, microSD, ultra fast storage, or even a high-end headphone app, and much more. This is starting to sound a bit like Project Aira, but it's more practical because of the USB-C ports on one side. On top of that, you have M.2 store. You got the M.2 storage slot. You got Wi-Fi. You got a place to put your Wi-Fi chip, and 2 slots for RAM. So essentially, you can change out the store memory and Wi-Fi, and also you can even change out the motherboard if you want to get a much faster processor, which is not bad. And I think it'd be more environmentally friendly if the 11th gen Intel Core processor loses speed over time. You can throw that out and put a new 15th gen Intel Core, or even a Ryzen one if that works. Windows computers, though, do live with like customizable computers, so that shouldn't be a problem. Anyways, and you could change out parts like battery, screen, keyboard, and magnetic attached bezel, which is not bad. And you get a little QR code on each part, so you can scan it and find what to do, and you can find instructions and obviously a listing, so you can go and buy a new one if it's broken. So not bad. So they really thought this out big time. And obviously the packaging is recyclable and all that good stuff, so it's wonderful. And This laptop, all of it. We don't know the price of it, unfortunately. Didn't mention the price, but they're stating that they're gonna eventually announce the final specs. So they'll announce final specs, pricing, pre-order dates, and ship timing in the next couple of weeks. So definitely look out for this laptop, which is interesting. So you can actually get a built spec model pre-configured, or a kit, so you can just add your own memory. And you could choose the OS, so you can have Windows or even Linux out of the gate, so not too shabby. This is a wonderful product. Like, whoever came up with it is a genius. I mean, it's a really nice kind of, you know, work. It's a really nice workstation laptop that can run Windows or Linux, but you get 11th gen Intel Core processor. I mean, the top laptop class, 4-core processor, decent screen, a big old camera, and you could change a lot of parts, which the thing is wonderful. I tell you, when you buy a laptop, like, I mean, you should be able to, like, change out the parts inside. You should be able to put a new motherboard in. It shouldn't be a problem. I mean, gaming PCs are quite customizable in that manner. I mean, why not laptops? I mean, and ironically, this is being a more portable product. You know, portable products have a bigger risk of falling out and stuff. So this is a really cool product for what it is. So, we don't know much aside from this laptop's a thing, so genuinely excited. And there's a whole, and also you can get parts for the laptop too. And there's going to be a whole marketplace to buy parts from, and it'll be third-party brands and stuff. So that's interesting, to say the least. So speaking of computers, last episode we talked about the MacBook Pro and how it'll essentially come with an Apple Silicon chip, and possibly there'll be an SD card, an HDMI port added on top of a USB-C port, and a bit of a MagSafe plug. And now we have more details about other Apple Silicon Macs that are about to come. John Prosser of French Page Tech is claiming that the iMac could be coming in 5 unique color options. So, and these are obviously similar to the new iPad Air and their color scheme. So silver, black, light green, light blue, and light pink color, which is really cool. And apparently it's trying to evoke the same look. Yes, and I was saying it evoked the same look as the original iMac, which looked like the eMac, possibly. So that's really interesting. And then further on, added one more detail about the upcoming Mac Pro with Apple Silicon. And that is, it'll be much smaller than the current Mac Pro. And it'll roughly be, and it'll design will be such that it'll roughly be 3 to 4 Mac Minis stacked on top of each other to give a look similar to the Power Mac G4 Cube, which is interesting. It'll be a little bigger and all that. So, and I didn't mention the processor, how much it would cost, what to expect in these computers. All that we know is that it may look like that, so that's interesting. So, I don't think that's really news, but had to mention it here because it's Macs, and we'll see more Apple Silicon computers down the road, so that's really interesting. And finally, LG has done something incredibly amazing, and that is, and they've now opened up their smart TV operating system, webOS, to other rivaling TV brands, like not big competitors, but rivaling TV brands, you know. So that's insane. So LG has announced that other TV partners, brands like RCA, Aeonus, and Konica, if I said that nicely, will be able to use LG's webOS for their own smart TVs over, let's just say, you know, compared to, say, Android TV or Roku or Fire TV OS. So that's really, really interesting. And in the picture itself shown, there are lots of other brands that they essentially have done collaborations with to power webOS on a bigger level, really, whether it's offering their apps or technology or backend. Again, so RCA, Polaroid, Konica, Iowa, these are really cool brands that are going to have LG's webOS. I think that would be, this is a power move on LG's end. They're really trying to do a bit of software on one side with ThinQ technology and stuff, and so it's interesting that they're really now starting to offer the webOS operating system to other TV brands, so they can offer it on their own smart TVs. It's a power move, honestly. This is really to take on Roku and Amazon and Google, which all have really solid smart TV operating systems that are on third-party units. I have lots of brands who have TVs with that operating system. So, very interesting time to be in the smart TV business. I mean, the real winner is consumers, because they're now able to get a TV that really has tons of applications and all the big streaming services, and runs butter smooth. LG WebOS is really good as a smart TV OS, in my own opinion, one of the best out there. Then afterwards, it's Android TV and stuff that really is just as good as whatever it is. LG and Samsung have really made probably the only brands, really, aside from Vizio and stuff, that have created their own solid operating system for their own TVs. And now LG is really sharing that expertise with other brands, which I think is really good. It's also, you know, licensing out your own smart TV OS is also a kind of revenue. Is it a revenue stream of its own? Because the brands will have to pay you royalty fees and stuff. So it's a really cool revenue stream that LG's unlocked for themselves. So quite ballsy move, honestly, for LG. So yeah, I mean, life's good for them. So what do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Sayed_Mao99. Send me a message, tweet me, mention me in your stories, whatever it is, really. Mention me if you can, or message me with your thoughts, or tweet me back at me at these thoughts, and follow me if you can. Share this to your friends and family, and all that good stuff. It takes a lot of effort and a little bit, plenty of time to do this. So any support will definitely be appreciated, and spreading the word will definitely help here. But yeah, that's been the show. That's been it. This is your boy Mao signing out. Till next week, stay safe. Take care. Take care of you and your family and whoever you are with right now. And I'll see you on Tuesday. Hopefully, I do get to make a 30-minute episode, and hopefully on time. All right? So yeah, it's your boy signing out. Peace. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. And I'll see you on Tuesday on another episode of Mao's Gadget Talk. You know what to do. You know, subscribe and tell your friends and family about it. And again, I'll see you on Tuesday. All right? Thanks for listening. Ciao.